Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today God's Word teaches us a vital lesson on our perspective on life and on the things we love in our lives. God's Word teaches us a lesson on perspective today, but it's nothing about having the proper understanding of left brain versus right brain perspective. It's not a lesson on, is your glass half empty or is it half full? Nor is it a lesson on, men are from Mars and women are from Venus or vice versa. Those are all good lessons. They're important and practical for this daily life, but that's not what God's Word would teach us today. It's much deeper than that. In fact, God's Word is more in teach. It challenges us today with this. Compared to God, compared to His Word, and His truth, and His wisdom, which are so deep and magnificent, we are not. So then here's a warning. When the depth of God's wisdom, when the depth of God's Word, when the depth of God's truth meets us in our human natures, it may very well make us feel rather uncomfortable. Because God is that big and that deep and that awesome, and we just are not. So in the Old Testament lesson, God paints a picture of two roads. A road that leads to life and a road that leads to death. Sounds simple enough. We choose the road leading to life, of course, right? And then in the gospel lesson, Jesus paints a picture of a road less traveled, the road of the cross. Sounds tough. Not as easy of a choice. But we love Jesus, so we choose to walk the way of the cross. Behind Jesus, of course. Well, instead of not really letting God's Word challenge our view this morning, let me just throw this out there. If you were in the crowd listening to Moses speak his words, in your mind, yes, you would answer, just as you probably did. Yes, I will choose the way of life. Me and my house, we will choose the way of life. But the next morning, I guarantee you would choose the way of death if the choice was left up to you. And if you were in the crowd when Jesus spoke words of hating this life and picking up your cross to follow him, you might think, wow, that sounds tough. But yeah, Jesus, I'm going to follow you because you're Jesus. But tomorrow, or before that, you would deny him. You'd go running back to the loves of your life, the loves of this world, if the choice is left up to you. Now, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm not trying to be offensive. I, too, would choose the way of death, not because I like death, and you would choose the way of death, not because you like death either. We would choose the way of death. We would choose to deny Jesus in spite of how good God has been to us, in spite of how good God's Word is for us, in spite of how true and wise God's Word and His perspective is. We would choose death and denial of Jesus simply because of this. We love ourselves more than God. We love ourselves more than Jesus. We think our perspective, our wisdom, our truth is much deeper than God's wisdom, God's perspective, and God's truth. His view is good most of the time, but not all the time. That's when our wisdom needs a kick in. When we look at history, we go all the way back to the beginning. And we see Adam and Eve, they had the same choice, life or death. And they were perfect when they had the choice. And we know how the story turned out. Our death, the floods, are a result of their choice. And we are now no better than Adam and Eve, nor are we better than the Israelites in our Old Testament text. Back to the Old Testament text, where God paints the picture of two roads. A road that leads to life and a road that leads to death. Sounds simple enough. Surely we would choose the road to life, right? Because nobody likes death. Israel stands in a wilderness when they hear this message from Moses, with 40 years of God protecting them against every enemy they faced. The Egyptians, the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Moabites. And providing in the midst of nothing in this wilderness, water from a rock, dry paths in the depths of seas, bread from heaven, their sandals were not worn, their clothes were not tattered. What more could they ask for? And more than that, the rebellious parents and grandparents and relatives had been judged. Just like in Noah's day, God wipes out the bad. He even killed their rebellious, wicked relatives. Because in the face of his holy and perfect presence, where he showed his glory and his love, they despised God. And yet here they stood a generation later, ready to cross the Jordan River at, yes, flood stage. That's what the Bible says. It was at flood stage. But God promised they would get across just fine. And more than that, God promised that they would be prosperous and possess this beautiful land flowing with milk and honey if they would just obey his voice. Fear, love, and trust in him above all things, and then everything will be very good in their new land. And they say, we will do it. But they cross over, and what do? They choose a path of death. And they do this after they possess the land. After they had eaten from the bounty of a prosperous land. It's after this that they turn from the one true God, who revealed himself to them, who spoke to them, who did miracles in front of them. And instead they worship stone, metal gods. They make their own gods. They live their lives not according to God's wisdom and God's truth and God's perspective, but according to their own convenience and their own wisdom and their own thoughts, words, and deeds. And what do they end up with? Not a land flowing with milk and honey, not a land of prosperity as God promised and God gave, but they end up with nothing. Expelled from the land, in captivity among foreign people, foreign gods, and they wonder where God was and why was he doing this to them, as if it was God's fault. So let's pause from the Old Testament text for a minute. How is your perspective on life and the loves of your life? Has God protected you and provided for you in the midst of the wilderness of this life, and you stand before him a day thinking, wow, thank you, Heavenly Father, for getting me to this place? Or are you thinking, God has treated me unfairly compared to my neighbor? They drive a better car. They went to a better school. They have way more money and a seemingly way better life. Has God blessed you with all that you have? Or have you built your little life with the sweat of your brow in the works of your hands? Do you need the same God who baptized you, the same God who confirmed you, to walk across that next river of life with you? Or can God stay on this side of the banks this time and you can cross over and take the rest of your life from here on out? He did good in getting you here, but now you can take over. In the gospel lesson, Jesus paints a picture of a road less traveled, the road of the cross. Sounds tough. But we love Jesus, so we choose to walk the way of the cross, behind Jesus, of course, right? Most of the crowd that day answered as you and I think we would. Of course we'd pick up the cross and follow Jesus. It's Jesus. Even to death. That's what Peter said. And then we take count. Judas betrays Jesus. 10 of the disciples flee from Jesus. And then there's Peter. He follows Jesus, but not to the cross. He follows to the courtyard outside the corrupted trial. And as Jesus is being mocked and set up in a corrupted trial, people begin to recognize, Peter, you're with Jesus. And three times he denies he even knows him. Cock-a-doodle-doo, says the rooster. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Those are really tough words to hear. Now, to be fair, Jesus is speaking hyperbolically, meaning he is making an overstatement. He does not want anyone to actually hate anyone, for the people who take these kind of texts out of context and make up their own points. His point was, though, that compared to love for God, compared to love for Jesus, everything doesn't come second or even third or fourth, it comes last. So in comparison to love for God, yes, you must hate everything of this earth. Compared to God, compared to love for God. Because God is almighty and he is the creator and he is the one who provides all things. For Peter, he could walk away from family from time to time to follow Jesus. He still loved his family, but he did leave and travel with Jesus. But on that way, he tripped over that last part Jesus said, hating your own life. That was a toughie for Peter. Whoever does not bear his own cross and follow me, Jesus said, cannot be my disciple. Peter tripped pretty hard on that one. How about you? What's the toughie for you? Would you measure up against the disciples? Are you better than they? Better than Peter? We don't have to pick up a real cross and be crucified on it as Peter would have to be. After Peter would be changed, after his denial, after he would meet the resurrected Christ, the resurrected Jesus, and eat with him and touch him, fish with him, Peter was changed so much he picked up a cross and was crucified upside down because he would not be crucified as his Lord. He went to death. We may not have to do that. But when we hear Jesus' words for us today, we know that we are called to deny ourselves. Crucify our hopes and dreams and ideas. I'm not saying don't have hopes and dreams and ideas. But what Jesus is saying is they cannot be more important than him and his word and his truth. So crucify the hopes and dreams and ideas of your little kingdom of this earth. And allow Jesus to be the one who is in the lead in his kingdom. In other words, the call to deny ourselves and pick up our crosses and follow Jesus may mean the sacrifice climbing the corporate ladder in order to do what's right. To not lie, to not steal, to not show favoritism just for our own self-interest or popularity so it comes back to us. Perhaps we are called to give up a higher paid job, to be the better mom or the better dad, or to be able to donate time to those who do not have a mom or a dad. Perhaps we're called to sacrifice the opportunity or possibility of popularity or power in order to serve those in need. Not to speak rudely about someone so you can be seen as funny in the crowd. Perhaps we're called to defend the reputation of another whom we simply don't like. But it is the right thing to do. Because it's true. Perhaps we're called not to retaliate against those who tear down our reputation. Because it's the right thing to do. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves today. Our rights, our egos, and see that we are placed on this earth not to be served, but to serve. God places us on this earth to serve his creation. Even those who hate us, even those who are considered our enemies. And perhaps picking up our cross and following Jesus means investing in less toys and treats and more in the kingdom of God. The church, our communities, especially those around our world who literally have nothing have lost everything. See, brothers and sisters in Christ, today God's Word challenges our perspective on things that we love. Because God's Word is so deep, because our minds and hearts are so shallow, when God's Word challenges us like this, it puts us in an uncomfortable place, especially us who live in this time, in this place of the world, with so much stuff. You see, when given the choice, you and I don't choose to travel the way of the cross, because it is a hard path, way too hard of a path. Jesus commands us to pick up our cross and follow Him, but the reality is we can't. It's too hard, at least when the decision is left up to us. But thanks be to Jesus that He did not listen to Peter when Peter tried to dissuade Him from going the way of the cross. Instead, He said, "Get behind me, Satan." And thanks be to Jesus, He does not listen to us either when we choose our way, our ways of death, instead of His way of life. Because He knows the way to life. Thanks be to Jesus that He chose the way of the cross for us. He Himself bore the cross, our punishment from God the Father for our forgiveness and for our salvation. And He Himself has chosen us to be His disciples because He knows the joy that is found in being behind Jesus, the author and the creator of all things. Our being, our faith, our eternity. That's who Jesus is. And so when you're behind Jesus in His kingdom, not in front of Jesus in your kingdom, it's always, always, always a better path. Behind Jesus in His kingdom is always better than any path you can think up. And so that's why Jesus made the choice. Because you and I couldn't. Peter couldn't. James and John didn't. Judas didn't. Jesus made the choice. The choice for us, for Himself, to be crucified on a cross, to endure our shame and sin. But even more than that, He chose for us to join Him in being crucified with Him. Not on a real cross, but as St. Paul points us in our baptism, we were crucified and buried with Him. Not so we remain dead, but so we may be raised to a new life, a new resurrected life, even in this life. That's the icing on the cake of the gospel. It's not just about the next life. Now, that is going to be the best thing. But even in this life, through baptism in Christ, we are crucified, the sinful nature, and a new us is resurrected. The same new resurrected life that Peter came to know when he saw and touched and ate with Jesus. You and I have that same life in baptism. And so now we look at the loves of our lives. Our spouse, our parents, our kids, our jobs, our studies, our possessions, our relationships. They're not ours, they're God's. And they're all given back to us, not to glorify ourselves and our egos, but to glorify Him who served us so well, going the way of the cross, the hard path, into life. We get all these things back once we've been crucified. All the loves of our life, we see them not as ours, but as gifts. Gifts that we get to dispense and love and share into the same resurrected life. Now that's a good path. That's a good perspective on life and the loves of this life. That's a great life. In Jesus' name, amen.